Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security, joined by the host with the most, the Hall of Famer, the difference maker, Mr. Tony Sager. Tony, how are you, sir?
All right, Sean. Great, thanks. Great to be back on with you.
Fantastic. And we're talking today with one of our CIS Controls ambassadors, Shireg. Shireg, how are you, sir?
Doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you. Shireg, if you could briefly introduce yourself, a quick bio, and your role currently.
So, yeah, I mean, I have been in US for almost 20 years now, and my first CISO role was with Jose Bank Clothiers. And that was like back 2010, 2011. Since then, I have done multiple CISO roles. I have kind of a very parallel journey of doing the CISO work as well as the community work in terms of helping the CISO community. So from the work-wise, multiple CISO roles, actively I have helped like many different organizations, utility companies, retail, financial services, university, insurance. So multiple different companies where I have been a CISO. Right now I chair the Global CISO Leadership Foundation. I also do CISO activities, CISO work here and there. And then alongside, I also have a kind of a startup in which I do the similar security role. In terms of the strategy, talking to different CISOs, understanding what their needs are, what their challenges they're facing, and then bringing those and trying to address that from the product. The community side, I have been contributing to the community in various ways. One of the platform is CIS, where I'm kind of very deeply involved, and it's near and dear to my heart. Remember the time when I first met with Tony? That was 2013. I don't know if Tony remembers that. It was Ashley Piles. She yes. was a good friend of mine. She was a CISO at Long & Foster, I believe, right. in DC at that time. Wow. She was friends with Tony, and she introduced me with Tony at Black Hat. And Tony was doing a CIS presentation. Saw it. I was like, I like the framework a lot, and I think it's good. And those days, it was Council on Cybersecurity. It was before CIA.
You were looking at about one third of the workforce.
I immediately, like, you know, I got involved. I was like, you know, this could help CISOs in building their cyber program really nicely. And the framework was not like too big. At that time, I was the retail CISO, right? So in retail, you have PCI, a lot of PCI work. And PCI is too intensive. So when I looked at CIS at that time, I'm like, you know, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to contribute. This is where, you know, a lot of different entities can benefit from a framework like this. It's all focused on the critical control side. Those days, it was critical controls, right? So from SANS Top 20, something like that. So kind of contributed through various ways in speaking at multiple CISO events, whether it's Gartner, whether it's CDM Media, CIS. I have done multiple different initiatives around IoT security, how the controls will apply, reasonable security guide. I'm working with the team right now to go over it and doing some changes. One of the main thing was, and it's funny, how long it takes. So I still remember writing an email to Tony and saying, like, Tony, I like the framework, but I think we should have some kind of a tool so that CISOs can assess their program. And then it should be a cloud-based tool. Those days, like, cloud was very new.
Right.
So I was like, Tony, there should be a tool And CISOs can compare their program, CISOs can assess their cyber program, and they should have some kind of a score where if they are going in into a boardroom, they can say like, look, my average is here, industry average is here, right? So there should be some kind of a tool. And Tony's like, I love the idea, Chirag, let's put something together and we'll present at next RSA. And I think that email was in 2014.
That sounds about right, yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, I will try my best. And by that time, I was at Children's Place, I remember. Mm-hmm. And life was so busy, so busy. Took me almost 2-3 years to put together that prototype.
Yeah. And there was, you know, Chirag, that's a great memory. And thanks for the nod to Ashley also. So at that time, right, it was really I just spun out of SANS. It was a very, you know, grassroots sort of an operation. So it was entirely dependent upon amazing people showing up and willing to, you know, to throw in ideas and to work. The folks like you and Jeff Hancock, if you ever remember Jeff, and folks like that were just wonderful. I was managing this kind of very small volunteer army. But, you know, that was one of the big ideas, right, that popped in. And I'd seen examples like that kind of from the government side, but they tended to be gigantic, expensive, complicated. And so, you know, that was a spark of inspiration. We wound up putting some other pieces together. Help standardize, what would you measure, right? And it became part of the infrastructure of CIS, right? Measurement, comparison, look at progress, right? It's not about we're done. It's about are we moving in the right direction and providing immediate tools to do that. And you were one of the early ones to suggest the psychology part of it, right? I if you ever heard, Sean's heard me say it many times, no one wants to be the lonely antelope at the edge of the cyber herd. So if you're behind your peers, right, in some neutral framework, yeah, no boss wants to be the last one. Therefore, Chirag, yeah, what do you need? I don't want to be down here in the red, you know, by myself. I want to be up there in the pack. So that's a tremendously important way to think about the problem.
Yeah, I have, Tony, I've spoken to so many CISOs. I have done cyber assessments on CIS controls framework, like over the last, I would say like 7-8 years for almost 100+ companies. Every single time I have presented the industry average, as well as where their score is, not even a single time that the senior leadership or the board said, no, we can't invest in this. Every time they're like, okay, let's just put the money in, let's just focus on the roadmap, blah, blah. It is so productive. It is so on point. It helps CISOs. And every time then I feel like, okay, it was a good idea. Right? Yeah. I was like, wow. I mean, that's
do I see Sean here taking notes right now? I think there's a CISO locally you can help right away. Chirag.
I'm just here to listen. I'm just taking notes.
Well done.
So yeah, so journey is like multiple initiatives at the CIS side. I then, last couple of years, back in 2020, I was like, you know, created. Let me take a step back. So by 2016, 2017, we put together the prototype. It took us about a year or so to get through all the major like enhancements to it and so forth, because it was just a minimum viable. And then to go live with it, we needed to do a lot of changes. Mm-hmm. Finally, the product went live in January 2019. And I still remember that time, it was Phil Langua. He was managing. And I reached out to him. He's like, within first month, Chirag, 4,000 companies have signed up. I'm like, whoa, amazing. So every year I track progress. And by now we have about 54,000 companies on that platform or the downloads. So every time it feels good. It feels like, okay, as a CISO, you have done for the community, right? So back in 2020, 2021, I was like, there needs to be a CISO certification also. So I started putting together like a mind map for the certification. And then I remember sharing it with a couple of CISOs. And then they all got involved. And we ended up creating a CISO certification. Then I'm like, okay, it needs to be with a foundation, with a nonprofit. So we ended up going with Global CISO Leadership Foundation. So now the CISO certification, which is GCISO certification, it's with Global CISO Leadership Foundation. My future vision is that any CISO that is doing should learn a framework. And because CIS is near and dear to my heart, Kurt and I have been talking since 2021 that at some point we are going to come up with a way where there is like a integrated framework for CISOs that are doing that certification to have knowledge of how CIS framework should be implemented and how it would apply to their roadmap. And I think that would be ultimate connecting the dot here, where CISOs would see how, like, you know, the program should be built and how CIS framework can be leveraged. So that's my ultimate goal. I'm thinking like maybe creating like a project, strategy project. And I think aligning a CIS CSAT to that certification, where CSAT, you do some kind of scoring and then you are able to understand scoring for each of the control and then how it maps to the control and the module. I think that will be a really good thing for the CISOs in the future. So that's like my community kind of a thing. Okay. Whereas like the work keeps happening. Everybody works, but I get real happiness from contributing this way. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but we've got a lot more to talk to Chirag about. So we'll be right back after this quick break.
Happy 25 years, CIS. Back in 2000, a bunch of experts from government, academia, and private industry met at the Cosmos Club in DC.
Their mission was clear: help local communities, businesses, government, and critical infrastructure defend against cyber threats, regardless of budget or expertise.
CIS was born to fulfill that mission.
So, Tony, how have we done so far?
Well, let's take a look at the numbers. We detected and mitigated close to 320,000 cyber events protecting public and private sector organizations.
We also blocked over 3 trillion potential connections to known malicious, suspicious, or otherwise risky sites in defense of critical infrastructure.
In 2024 alone, our guides received 1.5 million downloads for their straightforward, actionable security guidance.
And let's not forget 150 episodes of Cybersecurity Where You Are.
Certainly unforgettable, of course not. And honestly, Sean, that's just the beginning.
Absolutely. It's been an incredible 25 years, and we're just getting started.
The future of cybersecurity is evolving fast, and so are we at CIS.
We may not have all the answers yet,
but we've got the right people, the right mission, and a global community behind us.
So here's to the next 25 years of innovation, collaboration, and impact.
Join us on the journey at cisecurity.org.
Okay, we're back now. Chirag, one of the things I see, one is the passion. I mean, it's just emanating, to be honest. And I see the innovation. And one of the things I appreciate, though, is the way you view really this world of both framework, application, practical utility, and actually making a difference. Is that your thought process as you work with CISOs and as you build your innovation pipeline? Is this, okay, what impact am I going to have and how is this going to, you know, positively affect risk management, control implementation, guidance adoption? Or is it just kind of a natural thing? Like, I've been doing this so long, you know, any idea just comes, it's gold. And we just run with it. How does that work? Very impressive.
I'm going to be honest with you. I get ideas every day. Yep. I have personally have over 100 plus domains, because every time I get an idea, I just register a domain. Just to have a memory, like at some point. I won't even remember those ideas. But naturally, you know, the thing is, when you do the CISO role for a long time, right? You see things. I tell everybody, right, why that GCSO certification, why CIS CSAT? You look at CSAT. CSAT is not about just assessing. CSAT is about, it will tell you where your industry is, right, where your industry average. Looking at risk is very, very easy that way. And from my side, like when I recognize things where I have fallen, things where I used to tell all the time, like in my first Jose Bank Lothier's role, you take the steps, you start running, you fall, and then you get up, then you start take the steps, then you start running, you fall again, right? We made those mistakes. I'm sure, Sean, you might have made those mistakes in your program.
Oh, yes.
That's called experience, right? So yeah. we learned so much. And I'm like, you know, we failed in a lot of different things, and we learned from those things, and we kind of built something from it, right? We became a better CISO, I would call, right? So why to let the other guy who is trying to build a cyber program suffer? Why not share knowledge with them? Why not share ideas with them? Why not share wisdom with them? So that way they don't fall. And that's how we make a better world. Because for a hacker, it's very easy. He's sitting, he's trying to target one simple employee who doesn't understand something. But if you look at it from a CISO, there's a lot of burden on their shoulders. They're trying to protect their organizations. And even if you see overall entire world, multiple CISOs make the world better. That's how I see it, right? So every CISO, if they fall, then learn and then run, if you can help them even not falling for a couple of times and be able to run and run faster to beat those bad guys, right? It would overall make the world a better place. And because every organization that is in the business, right, they are making whether a product or a service, it's to make the world a better place and to secure it and to make sure it keeps running and keeps functional. CISO is a really core, like a very important role. And I feel that more and more we enable CISOs to do their job, better it is going to be. So that's kind of my rationale why I go as I love working as a CISO. I feel contributing to the CISO community, contributing to making CISOs more successful. That's where I get the energy from. So that's kind of my way of seeing it.
And you know, you caught something I struggled with even when I was at NSA in the government, right? I remember just a quick story. You know, the NSA Red Team was one of my groups, and they came up to me, and the leader of it, and he goes, "Hey, Tony, you know, our Red Team at NSA, we're a lot better than the U.S. Air Force's Red Team." I said, "Well, that's very interesting, but guess what? The Air Force's Red Team is not my enemy, and they're not my benchmark for performance. So if we're better, what are we doing to make them better?" Right, because it's not a CISO versus CISO, it's all of CISOs against real bad guys. So it's in everyone's, you know, you get that just intuitively, Shrog, which is we're going to raise everybody up, right? It's not a matter of I'm better than Shaw. That's like, you know, outrunning the bear, right? Or running outrunning the bear, outrunning you. At the end of the day, the bear's going to eat somebody. It's going to affect you.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So that and that's one of the things I think we have done at CIS, right? Is provide a creative place to gather folks who think like you, right? Who see this commonality, who want to contribute, right? You were doing community things before we met, but also turn it into something specific, something to help people, a tool, a measurement, a product, and so forth. So I really appreciate the work that you've done, Shrog, and the ideas that you've contributed, because it's really, and it's part of what, again, when we first set this up, I remember Jane Lute, right, my partner at that time. And she said something, "Well, how will we do research?" I said, "We're not going to do research. There's always smart people out there that are already doing research. We just need to provide a way to bring the ideas together."
Yeah.
Right. And match the good intentions of like security frameworks and guidance with real life. You know, we don't want to publish guidance that can't be implemented, right? That makes no sense. We want to make it easy to implement. We want to make the tools, right, with the measurements that allow you to say, yeah, I'm heading in the right direction. So I think that's, you know, and your role as an ambassador for us. So part of this has been, you know, we the ambassador program is relatively new, but it became a way to acknowledge, you know, the small number of folks like you who are both adopt the ideas, you know, carry the story for us, but also contribute, right, the real work, the content, the tooling that allows us to succeed. So I can see, you know, when you start that next CISO project, I don't know, gosh, there might even be a volunteer or somebody somewhere nearby here that you could tap into who has tremendous security experience. And he's making sure of mistakes, so he's happily ready to help others avoid them. Right, John?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We can edit out your mistakes later.
Yeah, exactly. So, Shrek, one of the things I just wanted to just pull on a thread that you'd mentioned, and think it's so important, because when there is this type of a platform to provide, you know, you a vector, as it were, to certain communities and be able to provide your experience and expertise, I think it says something about the individual, because not everybody takes up that mantle and can it be able to have the confidence to say yes, and you know, the self-awareness to say, yep, I stumbled, here's what happened, here's how not to do that. Providing that back as one, a potential to make a real difference, to your point, and one to also then use it as a platform to promote different ideas and your way of thinking is very, very important. Because and respectfully, you know, we've got the certification now, but back when I first started in security, there was no handbook of how to be a CISO, right? It was, yeah. Go ahead, figure it out. Yeah. And okay, I'll try. But then when, you know, like talking to yourself and others in the community and, you know, learning from Tony, the way I've seen the approach, the way to conceptualize, contextualize, and build that narrative that allows you to, one, communicate to not just CISOs, but a community of those that need to understand the CISO role and what is cyber risk and what do we contribute to that in certain cases as individuals, as an organization. It's so important. And it gets to one of the things that Tony is an absolute expert at, and I've seen with you as well, Shrek, is telling the story. And being a good storyteller helps you be an ambassador. And here's how I learned, and can, you know, being able to get that story across is absolutely critical. And again, as an ambassador, I just see it in waves, you know what I mean, this skill set. I'm still building it, again, learning from the master here on the podcast, but it's so important to be able to tell that story. And Shrek, I just wanted to, you know, align that and get your thoughts on how important is storytelling in an ambassador role or just as your role as an innovator and expert?
I think from whether it's ambassador role, whether you are in any kind of a leadership role, whether you are a CISO or a CIO, storytelling is very, very important because you have to understand people need to be with you so that they can help you grow something, right? So whether you have the people that report to you, whether you have the people that you report to, right? You need to be an effective communicator to them, right? If you communicate well, they are able to understand, they are going to align with you, you will be able to collectively, be successful together, right? So If you do in silo, people don't understand what you're trying to achieve and they don't understand where things are going, how actually, you know, an analyst sitting in the team, how their role is that effective and important as part of the story you can communicate to them, that how their role will make the company more successful, right? That is where the real value is. And from a CISO standpoint, if I look at it, a CISO, when they tell the story, to the senior leadership team, right? They can always say, here is the risk, here are the numbers. They see it all day, every day. But when you tell them the story in terms of if this is where there was this guy and how the ransomware happened, what happened in that ransomware situation, they would resonate right there. Okay, another retailer in the ransomware situation, and this is what they dealt with. Okay, where do we stand, right? That's what the storytelling is. And then you'd say, this is where the risk is. This is what the impact would be. They would understand. They would relate very clearly, right? And same thing when you are trying to communicate to the people who report to you, right? If you tell them, you know, you need to develop an incident response plan for me. But if you sit with your team and explain to them, this was a ransomware situation. This is how the team dealt with. This is what challenges they faced. That team would on their own will say, we should revise our incident response plan. We should put it together. We should make sure we don't fall, blah, blah, blah. You know, those things come from storytelling in my view. And ambassador story for me, it's very, very natural. Right? I've been strong advocate for the mission and vision of CIS, right? I believe in the framework. I have contributed to the framework myself. I have contributed to the control self-assessment tool, various other initiatives. Last 1 year as an ambassador, I have been strongly focusing on with the CIS team on reasonable security guide, right? We have done multiple presentations right now, and I have at least a couple of more in the pipeline, even internationally. Why? Because I feel there is one more aspect to my story. By around 2020, I started law school as well. I was okay, a lot of CISO experience. Now let's do something different. And I was like, a law degree would be really good because of how the GDPR, CCPA, all the privacy regulation, AI governance, all of that is evolving. A law would be really, really nice at this point. So I went to law school and I learned how lawyers look at cybersecurity, right? How the lawyers look at a cybersecurity program. So the dots connected in my head even better when I went through the first version of the Reasonable Security Guide as an ambassador. And I looked at it, I'm like, okay, think about a judge in a courtroom where you have two parties fighting, insured as well as the insurer. Insurer comes and says, I don't think their program is reasonable because they did not do X, Y, and Z. Insured say, no, my program is reasonable because I followed the entire framework or I followed this or that, right? Now, for a judge, he's not a technical guy. He's not a CISO. He's going to rely on what you are bringing as facts in front of him and try to understand. Now, think about it. If there is a reasonable security guide, a judge can reference. Judge can see, okay, there is this reasonable security guide. This tells me that if they have done this, I can say that, yes, the program is reasonable, right? So for me, being that, you know, JD doing law and kind of being associated with a law firm for like quite a while, I was like, you know, looking at the CISO intersection of the law, I feel that, you know, if the community sees and understands how the reasonableness can be established, right, it could take it to the next level. It's not about a hacker versus CISO anymore. It's about a judge also, or a courtroom, or even the lawyers understanding the you know, the other side on how they establish reasonableness, right? So from that perspective, I was like, okay, now for the next year or two, I'm going to focus on giving this message to the world with CIS that this is how you can meet the reasonableness standard. And that's why, like, as an ambassador, I personally meet with the CIS team pretty much. We met, like, for a couple of months, we met every week. To be honest. And for an hour, I would meet. Typically, the requirement is not like you have to give every week an hour, but I got so much connected with the Reasonable Security Guide and doing these sessions. I'm like, okay, I think this is a good 1 hour. I would feel good. I would be able to add a lot of value. So I ended up giving a lot of time and we did a bunch of different presentations. And I saw the audience. When we shared the Reasonable Security Guide and the reasonableness standard and how they can meet, how CIS can enable, people understand. They the security guys sitting in those presentations, they looked at it and they're like, yeah, we understand what you're trying to say. And I think and kind of they thought, like, you know, it made sense, and they would try to like, you know, learn from it, try to use it, try to live through it. It's something very valuable for them. So that is where, when you are presenting, you feel like, okay, if people are reacting this way, they see there is a huge benefit or value, it gives you satisfaction. And kind of for me, it's satisfaction is really important. So kind of I've been contributing through that way. Otherwise, like, good ambassadors, we meet quarterly once. We talk about different initiatives at CIS. We talk about different initiatives happening in the world and how CIS as a nonprofit can enable the worldwide community. So we talk about those. We all have different ideas, different thoughts. And what we love about is CIS has people who then take all these different thoughts, put them into a structure, and then enable these ambassadors to contribute more in depth. One example is me being involved with Reasonable Security Guide, because I'm pretty sure they saw it in one of the ambassador presentations on how I reacted. And then they collected those thoughts and then aligned me, which makes me happy. Right. So it's sure. Really good. I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, that you know, that role of the ambassadors. Right. And they represent essentially the worldwide ecosystem, right, in a relative handful of people. But some of these issues are universal. You know, and how, you know, the example of reasonable security, right? That's an attempt by CIS to take us from beyond the technical range to the incentive range. Why would people invest in? And I grew up in the world, you know, Chirag, as old guys, right? If we could just scare people enough, point out the 0 days and the penetration test, they were so inspired, or so scared, they will clearly want to fix everything. And it took me a decade or more to realize that never happens, because they're driven by economics and compliance and the boss's understanding and the board's oversight. And so if we don't take our work and put it in this larger context, then people don't know what to do with it, right? We're not going to convince them to have, oh, there's only a few people like you, Chirag, who both have the technical understanding and are willing to get, go back and get a JD and so forth. But to be able to take that, you know, and say, what problem, and sometimes we forget as technologists, right? Lawmakers care a lot about what they do. They're trying to solve social problems. They're trying to encourage certain kinds of behavior by businesses. They're trying to discourage other types of behaviors. So they see the world as a different set of problems to be solved. And we are useful to the extent that we help them see the problem, right? And understand enough, not all of, but enough of the technical domain to be able to make good choices in public policy or regulation or whatever their domain is. So the role of the ambassadors, you get to bring different viewpoints, you know, like Tony Kaye, right, from down under. I mean, we get a really different viewpoint there. Or I just bumped into Vilius from Lithuania, you know, and he's very, you know, very European centric and has a different view of it. And it's just really exciting to hear all the different ideas, but also to find the ones that are in common that allow us to say, well, how do we help people? And, you know, and the point, I would love your reflection on this, Chirag. We happen to be at a time where there's a lot of distrust among governments, right? Both between each other and with their businesses and with their citizens. And that's just where we are. But nonprofits still represent a place where people choose to come together, right? To create content, to cross borders, cross sectors. And so our role as a nonprofit is even more important than it was previously. It was always important, but yeah, and I think that's true, right? So, and we can work with companies that are competitors. We can work with nations that are see themselves as competitors and still get agreement on things like technical issues, threats, recommendations, and so forth. Any other thoughts on that, Chirag?
Yeah, I mean, how I reflect to this is, whether you have differences between the countries, whether you have differences between the organizations, whether they compete with each other, the idea is everybody in the deep roots wants to be stable, wants to be secure, and wants to be in a situation where it's reasonable for them as well, right? So for that, from that perspective, if you look at even the two nations that are going to be, like, you know, adversarial, but if you look at it and the opportunity comes to work with a nonprofit, which would help them understand, identify, they would be willing to work with. So in my view, deep roots, everybody would be like, everybody would be willing to come to the grounds where they feel that, no, we want to be associated. We want to make sure we get the benefit in terms of what this nonprofit can provide. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, gentlemen, this is the end of the episode. Again, one of the things, Chirag, I would just comment on. Thank you again for your leadership, the thought, the ideas, bringing those to fruition. I can't wait to see what you've got with the 100 domains in your pipeline. But again, just from CIS to you, just thank you so much. Again, on behalf of the community, cybersecurity professionals around the world, just amazing work. And so a big thank you to you.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome.
Absolutely. And thank you to Tony. Thank you, sir. Great to be with you again.
Always my pleasure, John.
And thank you to our audience. Any questions, comments, concerns, podcast@cisecurity.org. Catch us on YouTube at The CI Security. Remember to sign up and subscribe on your preferred podcast provider. And with that, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.